Substituting for Paul Priedecker today is Wireless Mike.
Welcome.
Hey. So we all know that rotorcraft have a special part to play in public service roles, police enforcement, certainly firefighting, and medical. When the needs for those three things converge, rotorcraft can do some pretty special things.
It's a very special aircraft that has the capabilities, vertical takeoff and landings. You can get in anywhere.
So we're now going to talk to a couple of folks who work for California Highway Patrol by telephone and have them walk us through one of those very special occasions that turned out in a pretty positive and dramatic way. We're talking to Pete Gavitt and Whitney Lowe. Are you guys there?
Yes.
Hi,
yes,
Pete.
Sir.
Hi, Whitney. Help me out and tell us who's speaking when you guys respond, but let me ask you to introduce yourselves and talk about what your role is, and then we'll move to this particular event last year that we're going to talk about in detail. First, introduce yourselves.
Go ahead, Whitney.
Well, my name is Whitney Lowe, and I'm a police officer and paramedic working for the California Highway Patrol, and I work in the Golden Gate Air Operations Unit. I'm a partner with Pete. Working on the helicopter in the Golden Gate Division. So we fly out of the Napa County Airport.
Okay, thanks. Pete, go ahead.
Afternoon. Pete Gavitt, also a CHP officer. And like Whitney said, we're both assigned to the California Highway Patrol's Golden Gate Division Air Operations Unit in Napa. And we both work on the helicopter side. And I'm one of the helicopter pilots.
So Pete flies, and then Whitney, you ride in the back seat, is that right?
No, I fly in the up in the front where a co-pilot would sit. Then I operate, as the flight officer, I operate all of the radios, camera equipment. So I do a lot of the air-to-ground communication outside of aviation communication, which would go with Pete's responsibilities.
Okay, and then at the same time, you're also a medic, is that right?
That's true. In our unit, we have, in Highway Patrol Aviation, we do three main things. We do law enforcement first and foremost. We do search and rescue, and we also do medevacs, where we'll land at a traffic collision or incident requiring helicopter transport to a hospital. So for those situations, then I put on the paramedic hat and treat the patient as we transport them into a hospital.
Well, let's talk about one of those situations, the night of October 8th, 2017. Take us through that, if you would, please.
Go ahead, Whitney.
Okay, so on that night, our shift started at 6 p.m., and that's in California Pacific time. So when we showed up to work at about 9 o'clock, we took off for a search in Oakland Hills, and so we were just doing an infrared search of a canyon there for a missing hiker. As when we concluded that search, we were headed back to Oakland just to do like a normal patrol. And the wind was so strong that we were just getting bounced around up and down, left and right. And I looked over at Pete and said, "Hey, man, I'm done. This is the worst that I've been blown around in this aircraft in the 5-6 years that I've been in the unit. So let's head back to Napa." While we were en route back to Napa, our airplane had spotted a flicker in the hills over by the Napa County Airport. We flew over to investigate what that was, and were the first ones to really discover the Atlas Peak fire. And in the short time it took them to fly from Vallejo, California, up to the hills where in Atlas Peak where the fire was, it probably took them less than 2 minutes to get there. And the fire had already spread from what was probably 10 acres to almost 100 acres. It was the winds were blowing the fire very, very fast and strong. And the growth rate was pretty incredible, more than what we had ever seen. Over our air-to-air frequency, they requested that we head up there to see what we could do to help out. And so because we'd already been in the air for about an hour and 20 minutes, we landed, hot refueled, just meaning that we refueled the aircraft without turning it off, and then deployed immediately up to Napa. to see, you know, what kind of survey the damage and see where we could help out. By the time we got there, there were already calls coming in. The radios were going crazy. All of the 911 radios, St. Helena Dispatch, Napa County Fire, was just so inundated with calls and trying to dispatch units. At the same time that this fire was starting and going on, there was two other fires that started north and to the west of where Atlas Peak was, which then caused the fire resources to be spread very thin. So I'll let Pete take over for a second.
Yeah, before you start, let me just reintroduce you so that everybody knows who we're listening to. Pete Gavitt and Whitney Lowe are both officers with California Highway Patrol. Pete is a helicopter pilot, and Whitney is a co-pilot, officer, and paramedic. And we're talking about events from October 8th, 2017. Thank you. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, as Whitney said, we started up there in response to our airplane that's assigned here. We have two helicopters and two airplanes, and one crew was out, and they were essentially, I think, the first ones to spot it. So they told us on an in-house radio frequency, and what really caught my attention about that is I knew somebody that lives on top of Atlas Peak, so we contacted her via our sat phone and told her just, you know, hey, there's a fire up there. We don't know how big it is, but we just want to give you a heads up. And so we started up there, but not really in a huge hurry at first. We had no idea how large it was initially and rapidly becoming until I put my night vision goggles down and I just saw a huge glow up there, which is normally a black hole at night. There's a number of houses, but it's a pretty rural area. So we hustled as quick as we could to get up there, and we just played Paul Revere first. We have an onboard siren, so this is about 10 o'clock is, I think, when it started. And most people seemed like they had turned in for the night, and the houses were dark. So we flew pretty low level, letting the noise of the aircraft try and wake people up, and kept our siren on. And Whitney was making a bunch of PA announcements, trying to get people to start evacuating. And that's all we did at first. As Whitney said, we heard over the fire channel that there was a lot of entrapments, people that were already surrounded by the flames and couldn't get out. So there was multiple times that Whitney would input an address that we would hear over the fire channel. He'd input it into his moving map system, which would give us a heading and a distance to go to, and we would fly, you know, up to maybe 15 seconds away from that location, and we just never could get there. You know, we'd be met with, you know, huge walls of flame, and we'd be looking at a structure that was already partially or fully engulfed. So we just felt sick the first part of the night, thinking that we were, you know, going into rescue mode, trying to pull people out, and we never could do it the first part of the evening. So as we continued. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Pete, I was going to say we got about a minute left, so I'm going to ask you to kind of help us understand how things turned out.
We saw a line of cars that were stopped on the road, and because we couldn't get to people before, we just thought it was a priority to start landing and evacuating those people that were stuck on the hill down off the peak. So that's what we did for the rest of the night. We ended up flying about 8.5 hours straight.
Wow.
HP helicopter heard what was going on, and together we pulled, I think the number was 42 people, 5 dogs and 2 cats off the peak in total.
That's fantastic. That could have made a huge difference for all their lives.
Now, we read in some online press that there were hundreds and hundreds of structures that were killed, but the loss of life was really very minor compared to the loss of property.
It was, you know, as Whitney said, there was a lot of other fires burning that created and caused a lot more damage than there were other lives lost in that particular area, Atlas Peak. We heard of 2, maybe, and the number might be 6. You know, you don't want to detract from that tragedy, but it was a lot less than we thought it was going to be initially.
And Whitney earlier said that it was a very bumpy ride and windy, and you guys didn't even want to go be out there flying. How windy was Windy?
Yeah, probably not her first choice. The conditions were pretty terrible, kind of a banner night for both of us, and really challenging. But we heard later, one fireman told me that he had a wind reading of over 80 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, and that's amazing that you could accomplish that in that winds.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing with us what happened on that night and how rotorcraft can kind of come and do something that there's really no other way to do some of the things that you guys do. Thanks for what you do. Pete Gavitt and Whitney Lowe with California Highway Patrol. Well, Wireless Mike?
Unfortunately,
it's never unfortunate. It's just a kind of a fact of life that we are at the end of Squawk 1200.
If AirVenture happened all year round, then it wouldn't be special.
Indeed, and special it is. Thank you for coming in to substitute for Paul Preidecker. I'm Stuck Mike. Hope to talk to you next year. You're listening to EAA Radio.